As the operating environment continues to evolve at an ever-increasing pace, the problems leaders face will grow more complex. Traditional leader development programs give leaders several tools but can fall short in instilling permanent change in how leaders think about solving new challenges. Today's episode focuses on how leaders can institute a framework for leader development that gives leaders new tools while also increasing the size of their toolkit. Welcome to the Leaders Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Captain Chad Plingy. Through this podcast, our goal is to educate and inspire the current generation of company-grade officers through advancing the discussion of leadership, professionalism, and building high-performing organizations. In this installment of the Leaders Huddle podcast, we are going to discuss an emerging trend in leader development with Leaders Huddle host, Captain David Wirt. Captain Wirt co-authored an article on vertical development with Captain Guillermo Guandique called Horizontally and Vertically Developing Engineer Leaders. The article was published in the January to April 2018 edition of the Engineering Magazine. Before we dive too far into this episode, David, could you define vertical development for our listeners?
Hey, thanks, Chad. It feels a little different not asking the questions and being sort of the guest on this podcast. So vertical development in leadership context, that involves creating new ways or methods of thinking in the individual, which may include higher levels of complexity, strategic thinking, or systems level thinking. It's like a complementary task of horizontal development, where that's where leaders gain new knowledge and skills through training and experience. Vertical development is more of an iterative process. It's not a singular event. It takes a lot of time and is context sensitive. Most of this definition comes from Mr. Nick Petrie of the Center for Creative Leadership and his various others works on the topic of vertical development, which we cite in our article, and we'll definitely include all those items in the show notes. It's not a new concept. It's an emerging concept, and it's become more of a metacognitive skill as organizations like HBR, the Center for Creative Leadership, are recognizing that the world, as it grows more complex, we have to figure out new ways to solve problems and build teams and focus on collaboration.
How does vertical development differ from horizontal development, which you mentioned?
So in the article, we try to have a little play on words where we have horizontal units and vertical units. And horizontal, in the engineer branch, horizontal development, we looked at that's really adding more tools to the toolkit. And you'll hear that a lot in the Army, of adding more tools to the rucksack. And the Army's great at horizontal development. As I mentioned, it's when horizontal development occurs when a leader or an individual gains new skills or knowledge from a training event or training experience. And most often in the Army, this takes place by sending our soldiers and leaders to military schools on the job training and through job rotation or new experiences. The Army does a great job at creating rich experiences for horizontal development. Just think about Sapper School or Ranger School, these week, months-long experiences where we're exposing leaders to different types of challenges. And at the end of the day, they get a tab or they get a badge and they come back to their unit and they've empowered with all these different skills and they're certified experts on how to do assaults or raids or demolition. Our other forms of horizontal development include other professional military schools, LPDs, and even sergeant's time training. I mean, think about all the LPDs we've been to, and at the end of the day, we're like, hey, I want that slide deck because it gives me an answer to solve this X supply problem. The Army puts a high value on tabs, badges, ASIs, and certifications, but we rarely sit down with the soldier after they complete that school or course and help them reflect on the experience to create new methods of thinking and problem solving. I had a couple of buddies that graduate Sapper School and they're so busy that company commander's like, all right, that's great, it's awesome, you got the tab, now let's get back to work because we got a range or gunnery or change of command inventories the next couple of weeks, and we never sit down and ask, hey, why or what did you learn? How have you grown as a leader? And then what are you going to do with this new knowledge and skill set to develop those around you and then make your organization better overall? Does that make sense?
That does make sense. And I've seen that story play out in similar ways throughout my own career. Do you have any insights as to why you think reflection is not as valued in the Army or not as practiced?
I think it's hard to say that we don't value it, but I think we definitely don't practice it as much as we should. And a couple thoughts on that. I think we don't practice it enough personally and then organizationally because of our op tempo. We put such high value on being able to solve problems and put out fires. I used to make a joke in my old battalions that I think, you know, firefighting should be an initial skill identifier for the S3 shop because of just how many problems we've got to solve. We put a high culture value on schools, tabs, skills, and badges. They go on our ORBs, our ERBs, our NCOERs, OERs. So we value those as opposed to let's block off white space time to reflect. Learning and reflection, as I mentioned, and introspection definitely takes time. And I don't know, maybe it's you kind of have that weird cultural norm of I've got to block off every minute of the day. And if I'm sitting in my office just reading and thinking, what are my peers thinking about me? And that may be why I have some sort of social valence to maintaining busyness instead of reflecting. I also think we're not great at training junior leaders on how to coach, mentor. We're great at counseling. We have a form for counseling, but coaching and mentoring are a little different flavors where you're not directing actions to solve a problem. You're helping guide and assist in solving problems. And then lastly, I think we have a high focus on performance orientation versus learning orientation. At the end of the day, one of the competencies in the Army Leader Requirements Model is gets results. There's definitely an intellect bullet in there, definitely intellect focus and the attributes, but we really focus on getting results as opposed to, hey, what are you really learning and how are you growing? One thing that I'll never forget from a recent OER counseling I got was my senior raider saying, hey, how did becoming a father change your aspect on being a leader? And I was like, I hadn't even thought about that. But that was a moment of sort of a reflection and really making me pause to think about how I grew. An emerging trend in recent leadership suggests the ability to continually grow one's capacity to deal with complexity and growing self-awareness are there definitely meta skills. In other words, they can be a differentiator in good versus effective leaders in the future. So we like to say vertical leadership development is growing the size of the leader's cup to fill it with water. So we grow that capacity, and the more you vertically develop, you grow that size of the cup. Again, this all goes back to Nick Petrie's writing in the Center for Creative Leadership.
Now that we know a little bit more about vertical leadership, do you have any suggestions on how we can facilitate vertical leadership and vertical development for ourselves and our subordinates?
Yeah, Chad, that's a great question. So first, I think, and this is a real tough one for me and a lot of other officers out there, I think first we have to suspend our bias for performance and have a patience for learning. We got to assume some risks in making mistakes and telling our junior leaders that we're trying to develop the mistakes we're allowing them to make. I think this is really, this can be as easy as asking the right questions in the right setting. Let's just think back to how busy most junior leaders are at the company level. They're constantly putting out fires, reacting to crises of the day, or they're getting geared up for the next big training event. As I mentioned, learning and reflection take time, and one of the most powerful things a leader can do for their subordinate is a personal debrief after a training event or challenging assignment. So instead of listing off this is what you did right or wrong, we can ask them, what did you learn from this situation and what will you do differently in the future? We'll talk about it a little bit, but I'm going to introduce the ORID framework. By asking those questions, you force the responder to think deeply and really reflect. Oftentimes, they'll find new nuggets of wisdom by just simply going through that exercise. They find the answers themselves. They'll say, hey, I never thought about that question. As I mentioned, personally, some of my best counseling sessions I've received had nothing to do with my performance, but when my raider and senior raider just asked me those type of questions of, you know, how has becoming a father changed you as a leader? That was a very, I had not thought about that, but, 4 or 5 months in, after having my son and going through a couple, evaluation counselings, I've tried to really reflect on how has that changed me? Beyond that, beyond suspending our bias for performance, I suggest three simple methods to facilitate vertical development, or I should say Guillermo and I suggest three simple methods for facilitating vertical development. And the first one is take on yourself and then assign challenging assignments or experiences. These type of stretch assignments, as we like to coin them, should be just beyond our current capacity to achieve. They should expose us to new people and new organizations, so you help build that network and leverage a network. And along the way, you can have a supportive context and relationship with a peer coach or another leader that is important to help guide through, you know, the assignment. So the example we're using in the article was assigning a hypothetical lieutenant who just graduated from sapper school with the task of developing a battalion-level, you know, sapper train-up program. And through that assignment, if you got a brand new lieutenant, he or she's got the confidence of having the tab, but they may not have the experience of having to go through the staffing actions, build a program, go through the IPR process, go through some course of action development, and then ultimately, you know, briefing it to the battalion commander for approval. Imagine giving that lieutenant a sapper ranger certified company commander peer that's outside of their chain of command to help them through that process. That leads me to my next suggestion, which is engage in coaching relationships. And they can be, you know, peer to peer, but in our example, that coach is a company commander within the battalion outside the lieutenant's chain of command that can kind of help them, guide them through the process, not give them the answers, but they provide some potential courses of action, some guidance on the asthma checking, and ultimately ask the questions to help come to some self-realizations, because that's what we ultimately want in vertical development is that soldier leader taking responsibility for their own development. To learn more on that topic of coaching, I'd highly recommend checking out our episode 15 with Jonathan Silk, and then Josh Bowen at 3x5 Leadership has some great articles on peer coaching. Take a step back real quick to our sapper train-up example. The reason why we recommend that lieutenant is paired up with someone outside the chain of command is those sort of engagements need to be non-attributional. It also gives that coach a lot of additional reps at helping develop someone, and ultimately benefits the organization because you're collaborating across companies and organizations. Even if that lieutenant's on staff, they can get paired up with someone else inside the battalion that's not in their chain of command. Our third point is to develop a structured reflection practice. We've talked about reflection already, and if you're struggling where to start, I would refer you to just a pretty simple method known as ORID. And ORID is a four-part framework that works at the coaching level. It works as like a personal after-action review, and it facilitates meaning-making or making sense of what really happened by going deep into four types of different questions. And first, and the model is in the article, and it'll be in the blog post that we'll share in the show notes. But the first question is the objective, or O, questions. What happened? So you kind of debrief what happened at this range, what happened at the sergeant's time training, what happened from the sapper train-up program, as we use an example, and you just lay out all the facts. It's very factual-based. Then you move on to reflection questions of why did it happen? Why was it successful? Why was it unsuccessful? And you move on to interpretive questions. What does this mean to me? What was my part in the success or ultimate failure of this event? That's where you really got to go deep. You kind of go no holds bar. What about me as a leader? What capacities am I missing? What do I need to do differently next time to achieve a different outcome? And what am I learning through the process? And then decisional, what am I going to do about it? And that's, you got to kind of you got to tie the bow at the end of the event to really lock in some of that learning, so you ultimately change behavior and grow that capacity as a leader. I really, really love this framework. It's very simple. A lot of times as a TAC officer, when I had cadets in my office, I would just print that out and have it on my desk and kind of go through that question asking process when they were either wanted to come talk to me about CTLT or a moral dilemma they were facing or just a challenging situation. and help guide them through that without letting them know that I'm going through the ORD process, but just asking those questions. And ultimately, they own the answer. I'm not telling them what to do, but they own that decision process. I know that's a very long answer to a pretty simple question. Just rehashing real quick, four things to facilitate vertical development. First, suspend a bias for performance orientation. Secondly, decide on and establish challenging assignments. Third, engage in coaching relationships. And then fourth, develop a structured reflection process to lock in all that learning.
Those are some really great suggestions. Do you have any last thoughts you would like to share with the audience about vertical development?
Yes. So first, don't get hung up too much on the academic jargon. There's a lot of research behind it, and it seems like a pretty valid method for facilitating leader development. It's not a new concept. The Army's been doing it for a long time, and it's cited in our doctrine in a couple different chapters. Not exactly vertical development, but the concepts of mentoring and coaching relationships, creating an environment for development, suspending judgment, asking questions, all of these sort of core concepts are really, really important. And I think we can all facilitate vertical development by just making time to ask the critical questions. By asking questions instead of offering solutions, we can put the ball back into the other person's court and help them guide the learning process and brainstorm potential solutions.
This wraps up today's Leaders Huddle podcast. Captains David Wirt and Guillermo Guandique's article appears in the January to April 2018 edition of the Engineer magazine. You can connect with us at iTunes, and we're also on the Google Play platform. We want to hear from you, our listeners, on the topics that you would like us to discuss. So please leave a comment on iTunes or through our Facebook page or Twitter handle. Until next time, remember that elevating your performance and unleashing your potential as a leader takes intentionality and the humility to learn from others. The views expressed in the Leaders Huddle podcast are the opinions of the hosts and guests. The discussion shared here does not represent the official position of the United States Military Academy or the U.S. Army.